Hi, everyone. Welcome to SweatNet, Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women living in our communities. I'm your host, Seal, and today my guest is Cecil. And Cecil, you're going to have to tell everybody your last name, pronounce it, because you know I was struggling with it.
My last name is Venkiru.
And obviously, that's not a name that we hear in the U.S. all the time, so we're going to get into that. But I wanted to share with everyone, you're a wife, you're a mom, you're an entrepreneur, owner of CrossFit Fort Dobbs, certified personal trainer, CrossFit Level 1 coach. And I know that you have a love to share and coach while constantly aiming to improve yourself and everybody around you. So welcome to the show, Cecil. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And yes, I'm so excited.
That is correct that I'm not from the US. I'm from Norway. And we moved over here in 2015. And it's great to be here. I love it. And we didn't have a lot of challenges when we came over. I think it was pretty smooth. We start to learn English already in first grade in Norway, like with songs and what our names is and stuff like that. But we learn British English and not American. So that is one different thing. I had two kids with me when we moved over, a third grader and a fourth. And the way they did it at school, they just put them into a class and they just have to learn even better English than me. So you can't really hear that they aren't from Norway. They are pretty good. I will always have my accent in good and bad ways.
Well, I love the accent. Like, I just want to listen. And I think everybody's going to be like that when they hear the podcast. It's going to be like, Cecil, stop talking. We just want to hear Cecil. So I know you said you didn't have any challenges, but what's it been like? Just some of the differences. Are there things that are like really different from Norway to US, like specific things you can think of? Or
yeah, so if you go into school again, since I had a third and a fourth grader when we came over, in Norway they can walk to school, they can bike to school, and they are just more free. One class or a period is 45 minutes, and then they have 10 to 15 minutes to play outside. Like here, you have like in the middle of day, you have fenced place that they can be after they eat lunch. So maybe they are out like 10, 20 minutes a day. And that is something I miss from Norway. It's way more, what can you say? Like, it's more like a prison. When they're inside, they walk on lines instead of just running through their classroom. And so that is a huge difference from Norway to here.
Yeah, the physical activity aspect, do you see that as a real difference as far as people being healthy? Do you consider Norway healthier or US or?
I will say Norway is healthier with the aspect that we can be more active when we are walking or biking to school. And since we are more outside at school and we can focus more when we are back in the classroom. But here they are pretty good, especially from middle school, that they are in activity right after school. So in Norway, you are done at school, you go home, and then you have to come back to an activity. So that is better here than there. But then you also have more activity during the school day in Norway than here. So overall, I will say we are more healthy in Norway than here, but it's not just because of the activities at school. It's also about food choices. I will say we are better at cooking in Norway. We want to be like we are gathering around the dinner table a little bit more than here. It's too easy to just stop, buy somewhere here, and just take food with you home or eat out.
Now, are there things that you still do traditionally that are from Norway that are here with your family?
We have like a little bit different during like Christmas and stuff. So we celebrate the 24th and we open up all the packages and everything the 24th for presents, the 24th and the 25th. And there's just a few things that we try to stay with instead of changing it to here. So that is maybe it. We try to be like we are in the US too. It's a reason why we moved. So it's not like we just want to keep doing what we did in Norway.
You can bring some of those traditions over and kind of still have a little bit of that. So your kids still have that.
Yes, correct. And another big thing, or another like, not a challenge, but a difference is that I have never wrote a check before I came over here. So when I bought the CrossFit gym, that was the first time I wrote a check and I had my lawyer to write it for me because I didn't know how to fill it out. So that is a big difference from how it is like in Norway and here. So now we are screaming about like, you can't have cash anymore and they are afraid what will happen. That was in the, I would say early 2000s in Norway. So we are a little bit after that here in the US. So it's just different.
It's different. I like that. It's just different. And some things you keep and then some things you don't do. It's okay. Yeah. It's all you know, it's different.
But my lawyer looked at me like strange when I asked him to write the check for me because I didn't know how to fill it out. So, but
that is crazy though to think about it, because I, you know, for us, if you're in the US, it's been kind of a normal thing.
I am born in the 80s and I remember my mom had checks then. But we never learned how to write one or fill one out, or it was like, that was not something common. And then here in 2019, because it was 19 when I bought the CrossFit gym here, and that was my first check ever. So,
wow, that's pretty cool though, just to hear that kind of, you know, difference between living in Norway and then being in the US.
Yeah,
that being your first experience.
A lot of them. So that's just one thing that we are hanging a little bit after here in the US.
Okay, so I know you were active, and like we talked about, you grew up on a farm. You played handball. What is handball?
It's a minor sport here in the US, but we have it here in Virginia and in some military bases and some Air Force bases. But it is a team sport where you have seven players on each team. It's six out court and one goalkeeper, if you want to call it that. And then we are just passing the ball to each other and we're trying to score. And it is two periods of 30 minutes and the one with most goals wins. So it's the same as you can say like soccer. It's just that you use your hands and they're half of the players.
Now, how long did you play handball? Did you play all through school or how did that?
I think I played to like 14 maybe. And then the horses took over more and more. And we was, since I grew up on a farm and with just my mom, I had three siblings. She didn't have time to like drive us around. So we had to pick one sport to do. So I picked horses because that was my thing the entire time. And it was on the farm and easier to do. So then I quit handball and I just was riding and driving horses.
So what were you doing? Were you competing and with horses or like what did that look like?
And so on the farm, they are still doing the same thing and that is with trotters. So that is also racing, like with NASCAR, it's just with horses instead. And so I did that and I did like riding, various show jumping and dressage. But it was more my stepdaughter who was active with the competitions and for that part. But a lot of it we can use, I can compare working with horses into working with human beings. So, and that, I think that is also why I love what I'm doing, is that I can see the way I work with horses over to how I work with human being. You eat, you sleep, and you train. And then you repeated the same thing the day after. And the day after that again. The only thing that is maybe a little bit more challenging with people is that they have their own opinions and it's always something around us that is attempting or that we are doing some bad choices during the day or the week or the year. So it's a little bit more challenging with human being than working with horses. But still, it's kind of the same thing.
No, it's just that you have all the personalities.
Yeah.
Those personalities come into play and that completely changes everything.
When you're working with horses, you talk more to the horse and you kind of get the response that you want. When you're working with other people, you kind of are more like you listen and try to get them on the right path. So, yeah, it's a different there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
So I really want to back up a little bit and talk about when did you start weight training, and then when, and then how did that roll into CrossFit?
So I did not start with weight training before in 2012. But like we just have talked about, when you are raised on a farm, you are always active. And I'm really thankful for my childhood at the farm. I think that that have built up to the work ethic that I have today, and I hope I will have the rest of my life. And maybe what I wish I had done more of when I was young was gymnastic. But since I was riding a lot, I still had the balance training. So when you're doing CrossFit now, and you're always upside down. I hated being upside down. So the first time I actually went upside down was in 2017. And it was just not my thing. And today I'm able to do all of the movements, like handstand walk, handstand push-ups, and all of them. So that is, I think that is pretty cool. But back to your question, when I started with weight training was 2012, and that was just a regular gym in Norway. And I kind of loved the feeling it gave me, so I just kept pushing it. And then I also worked out with other people, and I think we was between 20 and 80s. So we was like in our 20s and up to our 80s. And we all did our best every time we met. It's just like what you can love when you're going into a gym, and you can see that you actually can work beside one who is like 60 years older than you, and you, both of you have the same feeling. And so that was why I decided to get certified for personal training. And I don't think that was before 2015. And I did it with the National Academy of Sports Medicine down in Charlotte. So I did more hands-on instead of just reading a book, because now you can do like, you can get certified personal training with just reading. So this was more hands-on, and I love that part. And then I searched for a little bit more. So I didn't find CrossFit before 2017, because I felt like I missed something when I did personal training. So I found like a local box here in Statesville. And they had a 6 weeks course, and I said, yeah, let me do that. And I will say that was it. I fell in love with it. I moved all my one-on-one clients down to the CrossFit box, and I worked one-on-one with my clients here, and I did CrossFit on the side. And then when I built up to where I had 30 to like 35 clients a week for 3 months, I knew I had to do something to grow myself and to be able to help even more people. So I just asked the owners of the box if they wanted to sell, and they said yes. And then 2 months later, I was the owner. So everything went pretty fast from starting with CrossFit in 2017 and get over here with all the clients and then buy the gym. So
that is a quick turnaround. That took a lot of work, I'm sure, in that short amount of time.
Yeah, it is kind of, you're jumping in with both feet. But I don't regret it at all. It have been great so far. So
have you seen things that you would do on the farm and then you come and do CrossFit and you're like, oh wow, that's really similar?
I think that is like in daily, the farmland. We have more rocks in Norway than here. So every year we have to pick a lot of rocks. It seems like they're just growing. They are not though. But when you turn it around, and then it comes more rocks up, and you have to go behind the tractor and pick them up. So that is kind of, you are deadlifting. You're deadlifting for hours. That is a similar thing that I don't see around here. I know like you have different lands, different places in the US where they have to do it. And then the same when you're like picking up hay or placing hay at the farm, you will do like a thruster. So you are deadlifting, squatting, thrustering all day. And if you're working with horses, you kind of doing the same thing, because you put their saddle on or the equipment or whatever, and you pick it up and you take it down. So a lot of farm stuff is what we are doing in the gym here every day.
So you've literally been training for this like your whole life.
Your whole life.
So which is why it picked up pace, and it was such a good fit. I can see that.
But so many good athletes too are from farms. So yeah.
That's so cool. You own this CrossFit location. Do you have a team that competes? Like, do you have a group that actually go and compete?
We don't have like a team, but I will say like more and more people in here want to go out and compete. And last year when we had the open in September, didn't it start September last year? I think it was 80 people in here who was competing, or from the outside and in, because we had like an open. So also people who was not members could come in and do the open. And we are just 80 people. And I think we was close to 80 people who actually did the open last year.
Awesome.
And we are now, since COVID has started and all of that, of course it's different and you can't go out and compete. So I hope that will come back, and because it's something else when you're out there and you're competing and you are cheering on each other and you feel the push. You do like a new PR when you are out there.
So. Yeah, I think that's the big draw, is the community aspect and just people. You, like you said, you cheer each other on, and people. We all crave. I mean, I know I crave that, and I know that I feel like that's what really CrossFit has done an incredible job of, is creating those spaces for people to come together and better themselves physically, but then also the whole community piece. So you just talked about COVID-19, and I know that this has affected your business. What have you done, or how have you had to pivot with that?
So like I said, though, I bought the gym back in May in 2019. So May the 1st this year was our first year anniversary, and that was in the middle of COVID. But then our members here have also been really amazing and supportive, because we are a really good community and family here. So I have been able to pay all the bills, but nothing more than that. And then when it came out that we had to close, I kind of spaced out for a few hours just to try to figure it out. And I never sit down, but then I was sitting down for a couple of hours just to rethink the whole situation. And people here who knows me know that I can't sit. I have to have something to do. So it ended up with that we rearranged the whole gym. We even moved the rig. And we painted the bathrooms with the small amount of money we could use. And I will also put out there that I have one more coach here from me, and that is Kay Murphy. And she was absolutely unique during the hours, or during the month that we was closed. So without even ask for any payment or anything, she helped out with cleaning and turning the whole gym upside down, painting. Also her kids helped, and my kids helped as well. So she had been amazing help when we had the door locked. Except from that, we did home workouts that we shared on YouTube. We rented out all the equipment to our members for free, so they was able to still work out when they was home. And we made a support the box t-shirt. And like I previously said, we are 80 members, and I think we sold close to 80 t-shirts. And they kept buying, like we have some protein bars and protein water and protein powder and that normal stuff that CrossFit gyms have. And they kept buying that even if it was closed. So our members have been and are still helping us. But it is hard, especially now when it's, how many months is it? Are we 4 months into mm-hmm. it or something? And people are not willing to pay a membership that they don't use anymore. So we have had more memberships that they're just putting it on hold to the whole COVID is over. So we will have to fight a little bit more the next month. So I hope they soon can open up again.
Yeah, I hope that too. And, you know, I think it's amazing that your other coach jumped in with her kids and your kids and y'all work together to, you know, make your box better.
The only thing we did was to be home and at the box. It wasn't at the store or anything. The few things, or my coach here, she had a few hours at work, and if I needed something from the store, she went for me, so I didn't have to go to the store. So for at least 2 months, I didn't go anywhere else than from my house to the box. So
from one box to another, basically. Yep.
That is right.
Well, I am hoping that this turns around a lot quicker. And I know you sharing your story, there's a lot of other people in the community, they're experiencing the same thing. And I love the support of how everybody's pulling together and showing that support.
Yeah, and I hope people out there are changing their mindset a little bit and understand if they keep being active, or that they actually will stay healthier. So
with all of this, you train other people, you have this CrossFit gym, you coach. What about you right now as a personal fitness goal? Do you have one set for yourself? Even in the middle of everything that's going on, do you still have a personal fitness goal?
So it's probably the most boring answer ever. But I will say my personal fitness goal is like 90% of all of us. And that is so simple that I want to stay healthy. I want to get stronger. I don't want to have any injuries. And I want to kick ass into my 90s. So that is my goals.
And if you can't see right now, I'm air high-fiving Cecil on that. Like, love that. And I think I feel like that everybody should feel that way. It's a simple answer, but it's real. And just getting stronger and healthier and better with age, that's the way it should be. So is there anything else that you would want to share on your heart, you know, something on your heart that you would want to share with our audience listening?
Yeah, we are doing a challenge now in August here at CrossFit Fort Dubs. And we want to support Stop Soldier Suicide. And so we have put together where we want them to deposit $30. And the challenge is 100 miles in August, where you have to run and walk. This goes also up again to the mindset that I want people to be active. They don't have to come here to the box and do that. They can do it from home. They even don't have to be in Statesville. An average, that will be 3.3 miles a day. And if you complete the challenge, you can decide if you want your $30 back or if you want to donate them to Stop Soldier Suicide. And if you don't complete, we will donate the $30 to Stop Soldier Suicide. We have put together a Facebook site about it. We have made a spreadsheet so we can help each other to try to get the 100 miles in that month. So our goal here at CrossFit Fort Dobbs is to try to get up to $1,000 that we could donate to them.
Where can someone register for the challenge?
On our Facebook site, they can read more about it just on the CrossFit Fort Dobbs site. We also have made one who says CrossFit Fort Dobbs support stops soldier suicide. But they will find information on both of them. And then if they want to, they just they can send me a message or an email too, and I will put them into the Facebook site so they can also see the spreadsheet.
Okay, and so where can you just talked about the website, but where can people specifically get in touch with you? What's the best way to do that?
So I'm on Instagram, CrossFit Fort Dobbs, Facebook, CrossFit Fort Dobbs, our website, crossfitfortdobbs.com. So it's pretty simple to find information and how to contact us. And I'm on the email, and I have my phone number there, and everything is about. And I hope that can help other people to get active and stay healthy and maybe change their mindset a little bit.
I love that. Well, I just want to say thank you, Cecil, for being on the podcast today and really sharing your journey and even sharing about some of the challenges you're facing, but also the support that the community is offering and just being such a light and encouragement to everyone. And everyone, thank you for listening and tuning in to SweatNet Be Amazing podcast today. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to like it and share it with your friends. You can find more information about SweatNet on sweatnet.com or our Instagram at SweatNetCharlotte. You can follow me on Instagram at ItSealSmart. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode of the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast.